Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Diener Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP, the Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company. We are coming to you from somewhere in northern Tennessee, attacking the Kentucky border.
Yeah.
Our man, photographer extraordinaire, Kareem Elgazar at the wheel. Been strong this trip.
Has been.
Has been very strong. We got some issues with the car. We're in a Ford Edge. It's got a busted door. We're dealing with Jim Osarski, Paul Diener Jr., Cincinnati Inquirer. What's up, Jim?
Good. At least it has a door.
That would be a really busted door if we had an issue there. but we're hooked up to the equipment. We're rolling back the road trip BBP. This is kind of sad a little bit. I'm getting a bit nostalgic. This is the last of our driving road trip BBPs this year. One of my favorite things we do.
Yeah, it's the second of three in a row for the team. But yeah, from here on out, we gotta fly around. Yeah. Although I did say we should do this on a flight at like 5 a.m. on Monday, coming back to talk to Marv. I think everyone on a flight would love that.
Oh, us just sitting in row 22, talking about everything that's happening around us.
Yeah,
because nothing gets us going like flight social dynamics.
Yeah,
you know. But we're not going to get into that because, you know, I don't want people to say we complain too much.
Okay,
we're here to talk about the Bengals.
Okay. Although people
might actually prefer that we just talk about social dynamics of flights rather than the Bengals right now after their 24-20 loss in Tennessee, the latest careen, off the tracks.
Yeah, this is what a losing team is.
It really is.
I mean, you know, you kind of saw it coming a little bit. I mean, neither of us thought the team would win. They were in a position to win. But again, when you're 3-6, you know, they're not so awful they're getting blown out, and we knew that. But they're just not. Andy Dalton, at the end of the day, is just like, we don't make enough plays. He's like, yeah, we had, you know, the A.J. Green touchdown late to put him up. He's like, but, you know, offensively speaking, we can't do that and just have our defense have to stand, you know, make a stand. And, you know, what's easy to forget is they would have essentially been playing for a tie anyway.
Right.
You know, to go to overtime. So, but this is what it is now. This is a bad team.
This is what it is. And we've got a lot to get to. So we're gonna kind of run through the issues that popped up again on Sunday. We've got some comments from around the locker room that the mood has changed. I think everyone realizes that the clock is pretty much hitting midnight on them, and there's a lot of people putting it on themselves. And, you know, you'll hear from Josh Shaw. He said he thinks this was the worst of all the losses because they would be right there.
Right.
For as bad as they've been, for everything right. they've done, they would have been right. They'd be right there. We could bring you some of those guys. Of course, yet again, we're going to spend a BBP talking about what Vontaze Burfict's intent was.
Right.
As we talk about him getting kicked out. So a Bengals highly paid veteran gets kicked out for the second straight week before halftime. We're going to give our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades player of the game out. Yep. We'll discuss that. We're going to talk a little bit about what the hope is, a little bit about Marvin Lewis, who had a little different feel to himself in postgame on Sunday. Power rankings.
Yeah.
We're going to do some power rankings in honor of this being the last of the road trip BBPs. We're going to power rank Cincinnati highways. I know there's a whole lot of people who either live there or did live there who have some very, very passionate opinions on certain stretches of Cincinnati highways, top two, bottom two.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Lachlan Split. We'll talk about what you're mad about, what I'm happy about. We will get to all that and much more. Before, you know, I also want to remind people an event that I'm super pumped about, our next big BBP venture. We're doing a live BBP at 50 West Brewing Company at the Production Works on the 30th of November. So it's the Thursday night before the Steelers Monday night game. So November 30th, 50 West Brewing Company, me, Jim, Optimistic Bobby. I think Lindsay said she wants to come because she just wants to feel the talk optimistically with Optimistic Bobby.
Yeah, I think she wants to – Optimistic Lindsay wants to try to out-optimize – Optimistic Bobby.
Yeah.
Is that what it
is? I think we'll work on that. But, yeah, so it's going to be 50 West. You can come down, have some drinks, eat some of their beer. Bobby said he's going to hook up some special meal going on for that night.
Nice.
So it should be a really, really cool event. We'll of course, turn the mics off and talk even more to whatever you want afterwards. Take some questions and BS with anybody that wants to. So that's going to be on the 30th, so come on down and check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's talk about what losing teams look like. Here's the thing. I don't think that this isn't a thing where you watch the Bengals and say, they're not playing hard.
Right.
They've given up. Effort just doesn't matter in this league. Effort is assumed.
Right.
They're not good enough. We've been saying this. It's what it comes down to. How many pass breakups do you have to – and how many do you have to see until it's obvious that these guys can't get open? It seemed to me, and correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, that the message to Andy Dalton was this week, look, I know you're standing there and they don't look open. Try to throw them open.
Right.
Because they're not able to get open and see if they can make a contested catch play for you.
Right.
Because there was a lot of that on Sunday, him trying to get these guys and throw these guys open, even though they're blanketed.
Right.
Because Tyler Croft and Brandon LaFell and all these other dudes aren't getting open.
Right.
And so that's where you end up with seven pass breakups because they're just – he's got to throw it to somebody. You can't sit back there and hold it when you can't block.
Right. No, and you know, and again, this kind of goes back to things we talked about with – you know, the deep ball issue, which actually Andy had a good day accuracy-wise, I thought, throwing the ball down the field. But, you know, when you have a quarterback who is fairly accurate but not all-world Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, drop it in a bucket.
Yeah.
You kind of need you need your receivers to also make a play. So you're right, Paul. I thought Andy. I don't think he forced anything. Even the deep ball to AJ that was like technically in double coverage. I don't think it was a forced throw. I think it was just there's AJ, kind of like we wrote in our solutions over the weekend. It was just throw it to him, and he almost made the play. Yeah. You know, but you're right. Like Tyler Croft said, he's like he had six targets and one catch, and he was just like I can't. He's like I have to win those. So I think as a receiver, that's all a receiver would tell you they want is an opportunity. And we could say maybe up to this point, Andy wasn't giving them opportunities sometimes, and he did Sunday, and you know, it was kind of the same results.
It's among all the issues that we it's just a broken record at this point. Can't block nobody, but outside of 18, no one can win consistently.
Right,
and then quarterback issues every once in a while for sure. You know, it's when you do that, you have stats like I'm about to break out. I honestly still can't even believe it.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, Jacksonville and Tennessee, two games this team had to have, the opposing team has run 75 more offensive plays than the Bengals have.
Wow.
Because, A, the defense can't get off the field on third downs, and, B, the offense can't do anything,
to stay on the field.
Third downs. They're 2-for-18 on third downs now the last 2 weeks. 1-of-10 yesterday.
That's awful.
It's awful. And, you know, when you have that, you don't run many plays. The time of possession was 40 minutes plus for Tennessee yesterday. I mean, you don't have opportunities to do anything that you want to do. People, oh, why'd you abandon the running game? Why didn't you give it to Mixon more? Look, there's only so many plays.
Right.
When you're constantly getting off, taking off the field.
Right.
When you're only running whatever, no one's gets enough. You don't have enough opportunities for A.J. Green to make a play and make a guy miss.
Right.
Like he did on the 70-yard touchdown reception.
Right.
You need more chances to do that. And the only way you do that is by keeping the chains moving. You know, and they can't do that, and they can't get the other, they can't get them off the field fast enough on defense, and that adds up. That it snowballs. Defense been on the field too long; they're tired.
Right.
You don't win as much on third downs.
And that's And there's no greater example of that than the game-winning touchdown when DeMarco Murray, they basically force the ball in a perfect spot on third and goal at the 7, a check down to a running back who has to run 4 yards through three guys.
Ugh.
That's what, like, if you're a defense, that's what you want.
Yep.
And Marvin said it. Vinny Ray said it. Darquez said it. And yet, DeMarco Murray ran through everybody.
DeMarco Murray ran through everybody. I want to bring you some locker room sound here right now. The other element was Josh Shaw commits three penalties on third downs in the fourth quarter, including one that kept the final drive alive.
Yep.
Twice getting beat on double moves where he grabs on purpose. So you hear from Josh Shaw. I was able to talk to him about that and what he had to say about what Sunday meant. We have Darquez Dennard beating himself up a little bit, talking about his day. He also had an interception that set up a score.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Vinny Ray. So Vinny Ray also involved and was pretty good after the game, talking about a lot of what was going on out there and the frustration that everybody in the locker room. He's a good spokesman for sort of, I think, what the mood was. So here's Josh Shaw, then Darquez Dennard, and then Vinny Ray after Sunday's loss to the Titans.
Obviously, you know, the penalties, do you feel like they were, I don't know, the questionable, or were you just...
I think some of them. I would have to go back and, you know, not really my job to judge the officiating or anything like that. I just got to go out there and play and be in good enough position to where, you know, it's no gray area or anything like that, so it's not getting caught, so I can better help my team.
What happened on the last one? Did it just...
He ran a double move. I think it was maybe third and five, third and intermediate. He ran a double move. And so I think I bit on the first move and then tried to catch back up.
Yeah. Is that one where you just, like, you've got to make that play so you can – you just do that to live another day type deal? Like, just take
if
it.
You beat, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. Is it, I mean, obviously this has been a frustrating season for everybody, but to feel like you're just one play away, is that kind of the hardest part of walking out of here? It's like, damn, I think we did enough to win this game except for just one last finish.
I feel like today is our toughest loss because, I mean, it was right there for us to – either just win it outright or, you know, if they did kick a field goal and make it, we still can live and play in overtime, you know, still have a chance to win the game. This loss, it obviously hurt. We were extremely confident coming in. I know we're still confident, just since we didn't get the win.
You guys, it happens in games where attrition happens at a position like with Willow and you know, Adam going down. I mean, but you know, it's not a huge adjustment for you, but is it a little? Is there a little different chemistry when you're on the outside and Josh is now in the middle? Or is, I mean, you guys have done that a ton, so it's not a big deal.
No, it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
Doing our job for, you know, to be ready for any situation like this, you know. So, I mean, I feel like we finished strong. Like, we, with them gone, we still, you know, got them off the field on third downs. Yeah. I mean, we did our job, so.
Yeah, really, so in the second half, you got them blanked. Yeah. You know, until that last, obviously the last drive. Did they get more aggressive on that last drive at all? Or just when things, since they were kind of in more of an urgent situation? Or?
No, I mean, kind of killed ourselves. It's mainly what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of feel like the refs kind of, you know, did their part in it.
So, yeah.
Once it go to that type of stuff, kind of out of control, we just got to continue to play.
Was this stuff where they were calling it a little tighter as far as hands type stuff? Was that, where you got to kind of adjust to that? Or
I think it was kind of one side, because I mean, you look on the other side, they was doing the same thing,
right?
Even worse. So, I mean, still not our job to blame the refs. I mean, they got their job. I know it's difficult for them as well. So, I mean, we still have opportunity. We just gotta, you know, do the best that we can, the chance that we do have.
The play at the end, obviously. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, I guess you want a check down to the running back there. I guess, what did you see on that play and how that play out for you?
You know, try to hold the, you know, the touchdown off and basically just, you know, get ready for we take a shot at the end zone. I mean, it's third down, and you know, at least take a shot at the end zone, and you know, they check the ball down, and you know, we rally to it. I got to somehow just get them down on the ground for you not to be in that position to be able to launch for the ball. So, I mean, kind of beat myself up right now, because you know, I was there and felt like I got a good hit on him, but you know, it just wasn't enough. So.
Did it surprise you, because you're such a good tackler? Did it surprise you when he didn't go down?
I mean, he was going down, he just, you know, extended it. So, I mean, I got to somehow, some way just, you know, when I tackle him, you know, somehow I got to get him down.
You never know which plays are going to win it. I mean, 82 had a great catch on me and towards the end there in the fourth quarter. You know, I can't lose those one-on-one battles. You know, so I just got to – we all got to look each other in the mirror, look ourselves in the mirror. Can't lose one-on-one battles like that, especially on third down. Can't give up catches. We can't have penalties, all of us, you know, linebackers and DBs. But it's a, you know, it's a team loss. You know, so it's never one person.
That play at the end of the half – it looked like he kind of surprised you guys when throwing in the middle of the field. Was that a surprise when he threw in the middle of the field?
Yeah, we thought the time left on the clock, we thought that they were just going to try to take a little throw to the outside. And if they didn't see it, you know, we're going to throw it away. But, you know, they kind of got us. You know, there was very little time left on the clock. We didn't know they had enough time to catch it and they take a timeout. They did a good job with that, though. You could tell they practiced it, so, you know, that's a good job by them. They stole that 3 points right there. They did a good job.
Do you think this is being treated unfairly by officials?
I didn't see that. You know, I didn't see that the second penalty. The first penalty, someone put his hands up when they called him. You know, you run at the ball, you got your momentum. His momentum is taking him, so he's trying to pull up. So I don't want to say it's unfair. But I would say that maybe I won't say it.
So you didn't see the second one?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I missed it. I was looking for a replay. I couldn't see it.
Is it in a situation like that? I mean, the offense, you guys had to deal with this last week. Is it more of like a end your player mindset? So even though, because he's off the field completely at that point, can you not? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or is there an emotional toll on that? Because now there's an ejection, and now you're on the goal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm the next man up, so we had to have another guy coming on the field. I think Hardy Nickerson was in there, Jordan Evans was in there. All the linebackers played today. So, it's hard. And, I mean, with Vontaze, you know, especially hard because he's a guy who makes plays. He's a guy who makes big hits. He gets the team going. You see big hits like that.
Right.
He's a smart player. He kind of has an idea of what's coming before it happens a lot of times. Stuff you can't coach, stuff you can't teach. So, you know, it was hard without him. But no man is bigger than the team. So we should be able to go out and get a win regardless. You know, and that's what sucks. We gave up that touchdown at the end. Grinding them out all the way to the end, and they scored, less than 1 minute left. So hats off to them. We're all pissed off in here. So the best thing we can possibly do is regroup and look every person, look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, this is what I have to do to get better.
Okay, so there's those guys. You know, I thought, you know, Darquez played pretty well. They were in a tough spot with Will Jackson and Adam Jones both going out.
Right.
Adam with a concussion, and Will Jackson hurts his toe. And so you've got Darquez playing outside. Josh Shaw moves into the slot. And Josh has done plenty of that and can move inside, but he really got exposed. But I thought Darquez played pretty well.
Yeah.
He's really had I think he's quietly had a really nice season.
Yeah, he has played well. I mean, and as we start to look forward to 18, which is actually we're getting to that point.
Definitely.
I mean, he's going to be an $8 million corner in a contract year next year.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you know, even if Adam Jones's option isn't picked up, I think William Jackson III has done enough to prove he should also play.
Definitely.
So Quez is essentially, you know, your nickel again. But
he sets up perfectly. Three first-round picks.
Yep.
And then they draft another one.
Yep, because you got to be ready.
So, you know, who comes in and plays as the fourth corner for three years and you never see him, and then and then all of a sudden shows up right before you got to pay him.
Yeah. But I mean, no, he has played well. I mean, and, you know, that's the thing.
I think, you know, and we, oh, my God, we're going to have so much time to get into this type of stuff. Right. I would start considering offering him a long-term extension rather than paying out that
$8 million.
Paying out the eight.
Yeah.
I think it would make sense financially. I think it would make sense for Darquez. I think it would make sense for the Bengals. You lock down where you have Dre and Darquez and William Jackson as your top three for the next 3 years. I mean, I think he's proven it.
Yeah.
That he can be that guy. I mean, now because he's played so well in the slot too, his versatility.
Right.
To move inside and outside is very helpful for you. Anyway, we'll have a lot of time to get into that. Because we have to do as what we do every week now. Let's play the What Was Vontaze Burfict's Intent game. So Vontaze Burfict is kicked out of Sunday's game for making contact with an official. This came a play after he was hit for a personal foul for a late hit out of bounds. Both of these come into question for whether they should have been flagged.
Right.
Now, I mean, I think without a doubt, the personal foul where he literally had his hands up and while he was running full speed was a pretty terrible call, a reputation call.
Right.
And after that, though, I think we can now we get into the debate. And the NFL reports have already pretty much come out. You know, with this type of stuff, the national guys who pretty much get the league, NFL Network gets fed this information on Monday mornings or whenever, have come out and said that he's not going to get suspended, which I think is kind of the league admitting there was an overreaction by the official. Or the proper reaction was proper, but not anything more than that to give him the half a game.
Right. Yeah, it was.
But you can't do it.
No, right.
You just can't. That's the problem. It's not that it was over the top.
Right.
Maybe he is being picked on. Maybe he is vilified. He knows that.
Right.
You can't give them a reason for you to live up to your reputation in their eyes. And swiping the referee's arm off of you is going to do that to you.
Right. Yeah, you don't get to do the things other players do or what you see other players do. And look, and unlike last week where we kind of got on Marvin for not saying in the post game or even again during the week that he was disappointed in AJ Green for doing that, I mean, he said it. That was probably the look. Marvin doesn't really say strong things ever.
No,
in my opinion.
No.
But the fact that he came out and said he hurt us, on the field with those penalties, and he hurt us by not being there late.
Yeah.
And again, when what we were just talking about, a team that isn't good enough, that hasn't made enough plays, this is 2 weeks in a row, single-digit possessions, where you're, I mean, AJ is clearly the best player on offense. Tez is what, your second best player on defense behind Geno?
Yeah.
And they're not there. So what are you rolling with? You're rolling with Vinny Ray trying to close on Murray and finish that out. And look, we love Vinny, but you pay Vontaze Burfict $38 million.
To make that play.
To cover, you
to
know.
To see that.
To see it.
And get there.
And get there.
His instincts is what you
right.
owe. That's the deal. That's why you pay him.
Right.
And he wasn't there
and
to
he
do
wasn't
it.
There.
And last week, when they had an offense that they desperately needed to make a play to keep them in the game, to do something like A.J. Green did this week,
right.
he wasn't out there.
Right.
They're playing games without their best players when they need them most.
Right.
While the season goes down the toilet.
Right.
Because they can't contain themselves. And it goes, you know, it all feeds back to the head coach, which we talked about
yeah.
last week. I mean, and what this has been the staple of this team for years now.
Yeah.
Kill themselves with dumb discipline stuff. You know?
Yeah,
it's just a big part of it. So, you know, what this means, I'm kind of, you know, you get then Tez's it up on the way out and there's Manziel money signs.
Right.
And there's like something going on with the crowd because you can't just walk off.
Right.
You know, it's got to be a thing. And then high-fiving a fan as he goes out.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, basically celebrating getting
ejection,
kicked out of
right.
an ejection that just really hurt his team.
Right.
You know, and I just – he becomes harder to defend, I think. And the thing is when you extend him, when you pay him, when you make him a core member of your team, you are making his reputation – and the target on his back, a core part of your team,
right.
and jeopardizing yourself not having him when you need him most
right.
because of stuff like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and that's the attitude that you, one of your leaders, one of the,
right.
you know, I don't care if you call him a captain. I don't care if you call
right.
him, you know, a veteran. You know who everyone in the locker room looks up to? The richest dudes.
Yeah.
The dudes with the biggest contracts are who
yep.
everyone in the locker room wants to be.
Right.
And they just saw what they see that guy giving the Manziel money sign
right.
and getting ejected and celebrating that after games and all the other stuff that goes on with Vontaze. And that's who these guys look up to. That's who is set as their model.
Right.
That's part of the problem.
And this says a lot, too. I mean, last week we lauded A.J. Green for waiting for us at his locker to talk about it, take responsibility. And Vontaze did not talk. There's a thought he was encouraged to not speak.
We don't know what was
yeah,
said, but
it
things were told to him by pretty much every member of the PR staff and
right.
Marvin Lewis.
In whisper tones.
In whisper tones. While he was standing there at his locker.
Right. So.
And then they said Vontaze is not speaking.
Yeah. So, but whatever. I mean, the player ultimately has the power in that regard. So, you know, it's just different.
So he either chose not to or was told not to.
Right.
In either way.
Right. Well, that says what you
go.
Need to say.
There
I mean, no one told AJ Green to not talk. And even if they did, I'm sure AJ was like, nah, I think I need to
talk.
Yeah.
I need to explain this.
Right.
I need to stand up and give an apology to my teammates.
Yeah.
I need to everything that AJ did. We played it for you last week on the BBP. But this is different because, you know, there's not the. I mean, it's the not the same trust level.
Right.
To handle the situation properly.
Exactly right.
And what does that say?
$38 million.
I don't know. I people think that I am a hater. Right. Everybody. You know. I'm pointing out this is what this team deals with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's not that It's always something.
Right.
It's always something. That's
which is easier to sort of sweep under the rug when you're if they were 6-3.
Yes.
You know, if these plays had been made the last 2 weeks, and you're sitting here, you know, at 5-5 or 4, whatever. But you're right. It's just it magnifies it all. And honestly, Paul, I mean, I've been here 3 years. You know, the guy was great coming off the injury in 15 and was the best player on the field for 59 minutes and 20 seconds in wild card game in 16. But ever since then, what do we talk about most with this guy?
All the other
Where are
stuff.
The great plays?
Yeah,
where's the playmaking? Where are the his best game in 2016 was a preseason contest in Washington.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's not enough games where he goes and wins it for you. It becomes what's the plus minus.
Right.
How much are you getting on the positive and how much are you getting on the negative side? I mean, I don't know.
I think the ledger's a little weighted in the wrong direction the last two seasons, in my opinion.
Yeah. There's not enough of those games like the playoff game in Pittsburgh, which he also had a role in the meltdown.
Right.
How do you think about that?
Yeah.
It's just it. It's like at a certain point, when you start stacking all these up,
right.
And you know, what do we get from Bengals fans after something like this? He's vilified. He's targeted. Right. It's the refs. It's not perfect. They hate him. And at a certain point, when you start stacking these up and you've got a dozen, two dozen different incidents where you're discussing if he was in the right or the wrong,
right.
There's no way he's never in the wrong.
Right.
And I think that's what, you know, you just can't consistently push it so far to the edge.
Right.
That you're jeopardizing, in the case of Sunday, possibly the win.
Yeah.
So, all right. I just can't. It's just exhausting. I feel like a broken record. Just insert different incident here.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. Let's get a little positive here since we just really bummed everybody out. Let's try to get a little positive here. So, we've got our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades player of the game. You can go to jollyplumbing.com and vote for who you think it should be. Our three nominees, Andre Smith, Cody Core, Andrew Billings, because the award goes to somebody who just puts in an honest, hard day's work, doesn't look for any of the accolades.
Right.
So, people are like, what, an offensive lineman? I mean, really, the line didn't play bad except for one huge screw-up where Cedric Ogbuehi whiffed on all-pro linebacker Brian Arakpo.
Yeah.
And sack, strip, fumble,
right.
Turnover, short field, touchdown. It's just more of the same bad from Cedric Ogbuehi. Oh, I'm sorry, we were getting positive. Andre Smith did good, though.
Yeah, Andre, look, I mean, it was Andre, you know, if you're into the Pro Football Focus stuff, 87.4, which is actually the best tackle performance. I'm on 10 tackles, excuse me, from PFF. So it was, at least at the time they did the rating. So, look, that's 87.4 is, what, just above average grade?
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, Paul, after the midseason reports, every single Bengals offensive lineman who had played a snap was rated as well below average, with Clint Bowling only being below average as the best through a cumulative 8 games. So the bar is real low, but that allows you to jump over it, and I think Andre Smith did that.
Andre Smith was the one who jumped over a bar.
You know, had a bad penalty on a play, but you know what? I think when we're looking for this particular situation, Andy did have enough time to throw. And it goes back to what we're talking about, giving guys a chance. Well, the snap-to-throw mechanism needs to work to allow that chance to be had. And so if Andy gets it up 35 times, sacked a couple. I thought Andre did okay.
I thought Andrew Billings for a second straight week played really well.
Yeah.
They did, especially in the second half. A lot was put on him, and the team did really well stopping the run, and that a lot of that falls back to your big 325-pound nose tackle. Has to fill in for Pat Sims. Josh Tupou was in this week.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hill got put on IR.
By the way.
You might remember that from Saturday. which is another thing. But Josh Tupou was called up, and he rotated a little bit, but it was mostly on Andrew Billings.
Right.
You know, in his first full season, he's just started really playing more, and I think you can really you can see him progressing and kind of quickly becoming that guy they want him to be. And so I might give it to Andrew Billings, but you can go to jollyplumbing.com and vote for who you think it should be, for the members, for the guy who put in an honest, hard day of work, doesn't ask for accolades. Jolly Plumbing, the honest choice for your plumbing needs. Let's move on and talk about any hope and what we should really be talking about.
There's always a sliver of hope.
You know what's funny? As bad as the Bengals have been, and as much as they have, you know, dug an almost insurmountable hole, Denver is atrocious.
Yes.
They haven't won in a Turkey month Bowl. And a half. Turkey Bowl is a quarterback. I mean, who knows who their quarterback will be next week
right.
when the Bengals go to Denver. So they could play bad and beat Denver
yes.
because Denver is terrible.
And the Browns are bad.
The Browns, you know, are obviously winless. So
and
they're,
I still
five, and then they're 5-6 right. playing the Steelers.
And everybody
on
knows
Monday
how
Night
I
Football.
Feel about the Steelers, too.
And we know how that will go. But, you know, I'm just saying that's what this league, because there's so much just mediocrity
yeah.
and below average play.
Right.
There's always hope. I mean,
I don't think
there's realistic hope, but
no,
there's hope.
Always, yeah, there's definitely hope. And, you know, essentially now, Paul, they do have to win out. They hold really no tiebreakers under any circumstance other than Buffalo, which, you know, whatever.
They're falling off.
So you need to finish 10-6 to even have a shot. And it sounds so ridiculous to say that. Like, this team is, through 9 games, has lost 6 times. And you're like, they can win 7 in a row. But the Steelers, I've watched all of these teams on the schedule coming up, multiple games, full games. Who's afraid of Case Keenum? Or Teddy Bridgewater.
Case Keenum was throwing darts yesterday.
Yeah, but let's be real. And everyone knows how I feel about this division and the Steelers.
Yeah,
I mean, the Steelers, whatever. The Bengals still can't beat them. Doesn't really matter. But it's not. Who's on the schedule that you're like, wow. If Hugh Jackson doesn't mess up the call in Cleveland or in Detroit.
Yeah. Who knows where that
Browns might
at.
Have a win over the Lions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what I mean? So that's the hope. It's like, well, we got to win
hope.
Out 7 straight.
Your hope is there's a lot of bad teams in this league,
yes.
and most of them are on the schedule.
Right.
But, you know.
That's the only hope.
That's the only hope.
But, and you know, as Dre told you in the locker room, Paul, I mean, they know. They're like, what would he say? It's almost time to play for pride.
Yeah. And they realize that it's they're right next to pride time.
Yeah.
Where it's pride and jobs. And this team played for pride the last 3 games or whatever last year.
Yeah.
And they might be playing more for pride this year.
Yeah.
And we'll spend the whole month of December, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, we'll celebrate Advent. We'll have a Marvin Lewis job status Advent calendar. Every day we open up a new door. And we ask a different question.
And there's John Gruden.
Ooh, John Gruden is on December 11th.
All the coaches.
BBP listeners, get at us and please someone create the Marvin Lewis job status
my God.
Advent calendar. Can we
with
get
all the coaches you want that won't be here.
That's it. That's
but,
what we want.
But Jones is available.
What?
But Jones is available. What?
Don't even.
Butch Jones.
Gotta
He's available.
Say, I was just happy to be in the same state when Butch Jones finally got fired. It felt good.
He's ready.
It felt good. That guy.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, so Marvin, I mean, I thought, and we kind of discussed this a little bit after the game, Marvin had a little different tone.
Yeah.
Sunday. More of a... resigned, not I'm resigning,
right?
But like resigned to what this team
is
and what
yeah.
this season is going to end up being and what the conversation is going to be for the next 7 games.
Because I think, you know, they always say the 1 week at a time, but they know what's going on.
a win like that, because think about it. It would have been this conversation is all of the same talking points, but it would have been, hey, but at the end, offense made a play, defense made a stop.
Yeah.
And then it's, wow, Denver's terrible. Wow, there's the Browns on the schedule. 6-5 going to play Pittsburgh, season on the line. I mean, they know that.
Yeah.
And I think
they know they needed this one.
They needed this one. And look, they're gonna play hard, but I think that's what we saw from Marvin a little bit, because they did play really hard. And it was you could say they got lucky in some ways, but I thought they created their own luck in some ways. Like the Dre Kirkpatrick hustle play on the Corey Davis fumble. Corey Davis just, again, over route, wide open.
Yeah.
And Dre ran it down and laid a hit on a guy. Like, yeah. I mean, a thing that Dre's really not known for.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? So I think that was part of it, too.
Yeah.
From Marvin. Was totally. Like, you know, they they tried really hard.
They tried really hard.
And it just didn't.
But it
weren't
but
good.
It was, but they just didn't. They didn't get the one last play.
So you're right. I agree with you.
We'll see. You know, it's just we could probably copy and paste this audio to every week from here on out. But
yeah.
January, the first week in January, is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, and you know,
around these parts,
yeah,
we'll see how it plays out.
You know what that means?
Nothing
then.
Is guaranteed. I know what that means.
It means
I know what time it is in the podcast.
It means that Mike Brown might be needed some great talent for his business in a short amount of time.
Check Mike Brown's computer to see if he has subscribed to ZipRecruiter.
And you or he or anyone. You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes or an advent calendar to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools, smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire, Paul. Because if you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. So if you're hiring, do you know where you could post this job to find the best candidates? ZipRecruiter.com. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. So our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
All right. So there's that. Real quick, I mentioned it earlier. I want to dive into Jeremy Hill going on IR.
That happened.
Yeah, that happened on Saturday. While we were trying to eat a very delightful breakfast in Nashville, Bengals with the Saturday afternoon four roster moves.
Yeah, right.
Really unnecessary shot at the scribes, I felt. The four moves was Marshall Cone, Moonlight Graham, got his 1 point and went home.
He was good. He was good, Paul.
It was good. You got your story in on him before you got cut. But he gets let go because they felt Randy Bullock was healthy. Then Randy Bullock came in and missed extra point and doinked another one. Maybe he wasn't healthy, but whatever. So Josh Tupou then gets called up because they knew Pat Sims was going to be out. And Brandon Wilson got called up because Deron Smith is now with the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
So Jeremy Hill to IR is the big surprise move there, and I think it's fair to say Jeremy Hill has played his last game for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they made it clear their intention for him with the drafting of Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
And we talk about hope, and I know Marvin Lewis was Jeremy Hill's greatest champion. And he tried to force it and make it work.
you know, by starting him and having those 8 to 10 snaps, and, you know, it just it didn't work. And we talked about it. I mean, in the end, what was Joe Mixon and Gio's yards per carry?
Yesterday?
Yeah. Not great.
It actually, it was right. Joe was over 4-1. It was like a miracle.
Yeah.
As a team, they were 3-8.
I think. I mean, you know, whatever. It's an extra 8 snaps or 10 snaps for those guys. But you're right, Paul. I mean, it's kind of an end of a line for a guy who whose career started in such promising fashion.
So you thought they had stumbled upon a gem. He carried that team through the 2014 to the 2014 playoffs.
Yeah.
He was the reason you thought they had any chance.
Yeah.
Was Jeremy Hill. And instead.
No, it was. Yeah. Instead, it turned, you know, 15, his year kind of got masked a little bit because of the league-leading touchdowns, Andy's play. You know, the yardage wasn't great, but you're like, oh, that's okay with all those wide receiving options. But the yards per carry kind of gave you a – you're like, oh, well, that's not awesome. And then that just snowballed into last year where you needed that guy to be that guy. You know, and I know some fans were like, well, he was never the same after the fumble. I don't know about that. You know, like I just said, that he ran the same way in 16, because it wasn't the – which wasn't the same as – in 15, I'm sorry, wasn't the same as 14.
Yeah. At the end of the day, here's the other interesting thing about this – why – and I'll just put a disclaimer. This is the speculation portion of the program.
Yeah.
But I think it's very educated guessing here. And that is, this was more of a message IR than an injury IR.
Yeah.
Look, Jeremy Hill has not been walking around in a boot.
Yeah.
Jeremy Hill supposedly hurt himself at a Saturday walkthrough
right.
on his ankle. No boot.
Right.
No real limp. No. He talked to the
rap.
Media this
yeah.
week. I mean, and there was sort of a trying to make a throwing it out there that maybe this has been going on for a
yeah.
while, but yet he hasn't been listed on the injury report.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he shows up on IR. It feels of, you know what, we're just done with any malcontent issues.
Yeah.
And now, again, this is speculation, but why else would – there's no way somebody whose foot is not in a boot
– right.
would not be able to come back in 2 months.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's you're right about that, Paul. I mean,
it's just
– you know, and again, you guys – listen to us to hear stuff in the locker room. And we see guys – now, we could tweet every single rap or sling or boot that we see. But, you know, we make judgment calls on that because a lot of times guys are just in a thing for a day.
Yeah, precautionary.
You know, so I've seen guys in boots leave the facility, in the facility, whether it's the big old boot or the little boot, and they're not on the injury report. You know, so that, but you're right. There was just no visible sign of issue, which when there's an injury, a season ending injury.
And it came so out of nowhere.
Right.
The Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it was such like a last minute, what, Jeremy Hill.
Right.
So, you know.
Sort of an unceremonious end.
Yeah. To what some people thought would be a lot more than that.
Right.
All right. Can we talk about good food?
Yeah.
Let's
That's
do
the
it.
Best. You know, you mentioned these BBPs being, these road BBPs being great. I like them because, again, I don't have to cook. I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because I got Blue Apron, Paul. It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Its mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone like me. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Now, I don't know if I'm a chef, but I do cook it at home.
Follow directions.
I do. I can do that.
That's what it is.
Yes. So, I mean, upcoming meals. These are featured, Paul. Seared steaks and garlic butter. We know cream on set. Oven fries and romaine salad. Roasted chicken and fall vegetables with cranberry and ginger combo. Getting you ready for, you know, that time of year where you get that cranberry.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a cranberry guy. We'll get into that.
So check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/beat. That's what we do for you. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/beat. Blue Apron, better way to cook.
You probably got one waiting sitting on your porch right now.
It is. And you know what? It's cool.
It's great. Cold. It's great after the road trip. You come home. You don't have to worry about going and getting dinner. Just boom, just sitting right there. Follow directions. Right. You're eating good. All right, it's that time. It's our favorite time. And so we're going through the list that all you guys sent to us of what you wanted us to power rank. Remember, you can still send them to us at Jim Wozarski, at Paul Danner Jr. on Twitter. If you have an idea for something you want us to power rank, the list is long, so it could take a while for us to get to it. We're trying to get to all of them. Top two, bottom two. Kareem, you're in on this one.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Top two, bottom two, Cincinnati highways. I'm saying you can get as specific as any two-mile stretch anywhere. And that includes your Norwood Laterals, your Cross Counties, your Liberty Highway. We got into the burbs, you know, your double A for our Kentucky folk. You go into Kentucky, any two-mile stretch anywhere.
Yeah.
So 74s, 275s, all that stuff. So let's start with you, Jim.
Are we doing top or bottom?
Go bottom. Let's you know what? Start top. I like when we get negative later. it makes for a smooth transition into what's making you mad.
Yeah, that's true.
So what do you want? What do you like?
You know what? I like number one, Columbia Parkway.
You like Columbia Parkway?
I do.
Okay. Number one.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of landslides?
No.
Okay.
Because I got the Yaris.
No, you ever, you're going to get crushed so much faster.
Nah. Look up that Jason Bourne. Jason Bourne drove that Yaris downstairs, upstairs,
you can get out of down any the spot, streets. Is what you're saying?
No. Yaris. It was before it hit the States. I'm telling you. I like it, honestly, because there's some golf courses I like over there, Paul. So I like the ride along the river a little bit.
Fair.
And there's some scenery.
It is scenic.
I mean, not that I advocate going above the posted speed limit. But sometimes you can get places faster.
You know they have the overhead tickets there. They fly above. You gotta watch that. I'm just gonna
Yaris. You know what? The Yaris is really PSA. Tiny. It's really tiny.
Yeah, they can't even see
they
you.
They can't see it.
They can't see it. All right, so that's I'm your
in
number
a,
one.
I'm in a yellow Charger. I don't drive a Yaris.
What do you have a number two? What's your number two?
The 3 to 5 mile stretch of 75. Coming off 74, so like when you can either go north to Dayton or you go, it's like it's Lexington.
So you're going 75 north?
South into downtown. It's finished now. See, that's why I can say, that's why this would not be a choice if we had done this earlier. Mm-hmm. It's finished. It's smooth. And what I like, too, is also that 5th Street little turnoff. Mm-hmm. There's no one ever getting off at 5th Street. So, like, the whole bridge is backed up. 2nd Street, there's backed up, and you can just whoop.
Yeah.
Get right off and loop right around to either Clay Wade Bailey, get downtown, get the PBS. Like, for what I do,
yeah,
it's like perfect. That little 3.5 mile stretch of 75 south off 74. Those
are my
favorite.
I just didn't think anything on 75 would get on someone's top two list.
Yeah. I mean, it's only a 3.5 mile stretch.
That's true. That's true.
You said we could get specific.
You're right. That is specific. That is specific. All right, Kareem, behind the wheel right now. So you got it. You got to give me your top two. What's your top two?
All right, we'll start with number two. Any stretch of road on Ronald Reagan. It's always moving. No traffic. In rush hour, it's moving at speed, 55. I like that. I like Ronald Reagan. Although I prefer to call it Cross County. And then number one would be the finished highway north of, on your way to Dayton, kind of right around Middletown. Nice four lanes, smooth, pretty good in traffic as well. So those are my top two.
You know, see, you're like a suburban guy though. So you're living out on the edges. Like that suburban life is always good. You get those comfort lanes out there.
I used to work in Dayton, and I used to wake up at about four in the morning to drive to Dayton to be in Dayton about 5:30 for work. So I'm very, very familiar with that stretch of 75, and it got me to work right on time. So I do like that stretch of 75 right there around Middletown.
So yeah, 275s.
I mean, I'm shocked.
Not 275.
No, of course not.
275s.
Okay, that's impressive.
That Ronnie Reagan's money, though.
The Ronnie Reagan. You need to be on the. You need to ride that Ronnie.
I mean, cross-county.
Cross-county, of course. My top two. Number one is coming out of 71, coming out of downtown on 71 to Dana. Okay. For an Oakley bro like myself, if I can just get to Dana, I skirt off and I miss all the traffic that ever happens. And it almost never backs up past Dana. It's amazing. It's always about to back up when you get to Dana, but it almost never backs up to Dana. So I can always get from downtown to Dana unmolested by traffic.
By Smith Edwards,
you're done. Yeah, you can't. I got to take back roads from there. Smith, you don't want to try to go to Smith Edwards. Or if you got to be like Kareem, you got to the Burbs, you're toast. Because you're dealing with some bad spots that we're probably about to hear about, I'm guessing. My number two, I actually have Columbia Parkway as well.
Okay.
If there is any issue, Columbia Parkway is helpful. You typically can skirt traffic on the major highways.
Yeah.
And then that can drop you off into a lot of places on the east side.
Right.
And you can sneak in on back roads. It's typically open, and the precinct's over there.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It is nice.
Which is nice. All right, let's get negative. Kareem, I'll let you open it up. What's your bottom two? Bottom two highway stretches.
All right. Second to last, right? On 75 North, right after the construction, it's all smooth, going nicely past 74, it's all good. And then you get just north of Mitchell Avenue. Right there, boys. Make me want to kill somebody. And then my most hated stretch of highway. 71 North on my way home. Four lanes of traffic merging down into two lanes of northbound traffic through traffic. Right there, what is that, Ridge Road? The lateral? Yep. Who puts four lanes of northbound traffic into two lanes and you got to merge over two or three times? I'm losing it.
You're right. The good news is they're fixing it. That's their next step, is they're gonna fix that. But it is ridiculous. And it's the reason everything backs up. It's awful. All right, Jim, what do you got?
So, again, since you allowed specificity.
Yeah.
It is one highway, but two parts. So, one, or two, bottom, second to last, 71 just over the river in northern Kentucky. I don't know, and I understand there's a hill there. There's a steep grade. I understand the safety issues.
Are you talking
of
cutting
trucks.
The hill?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, cutting the hill is just...
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
no, and I don't
momentum
understand.
Momentum issues.
There's a lot of. I mean, look, I'm from Chicago. Like, traffic itself isn't like a thing for me, but it's just the way that backs up and the way people are trying to move around or not move around over there. Sudden stops, it's just bad. And then my other one, number one, is 71 again, but on the other side. From Oakley to downtown.
Oh, man.
Awful. It's terrible. I have never gone in that direction and got there in any amount of time that it was supposed to be, you know, reasonable. It's taking me 45 minutes. It's taking me an hour. There's people standing in the highway. There's cars sideways and turned over. I don't understand.
There was a stretch of time in the 2015 season where you would go from my house trying to get to your house, and just it would some natural disaster would happen every single time. So I just think you had some bad experiences. It's really not that bad.
I still haven't had the greatest
luck. If you have to go all
the
way over into Kentucky, you start getting into problems. Yeah, yeah. But if you're just going off into downtown, I don't know what you're talking about.
So 71 in general sucks. And
first
then,
of all, you guys are all looking silly because how has no one mentioned the Lachlan split yet? I mean, it literally, I'm pretty sure when they do the traffic reports, they're sponsored by the Lachlan split because that's where it always starts. Oh, yeah, you guys are probably going to be shocked to find out the Lachlan split has back up again on 75. Give me a break. Questionable lane changes.
Yeah, we just questionable lane changes. Just had a questionable lane change. Literally just happened live.
Live. You heard it. Yeah, that's the type of stuff that happens to people in the Lachlan split. There's all kinds of issues all over the place. So I mean, that has to be the worst. The
Your other one.
My second worst is the viaduct to go over to the west side, which Western Hills Viaduct. The problem with the Western Hills Viaduct, A, it's going to break soon, right?
That for real is crumbling.
Like, for real, it's crumbling.
Yeah.
No, that thing is crumbling. So I go over it, and I sort of cross my fingers. I don't want to be crossing my fingers while driving, hoping that the road is stable.
No.
That's a problem for me. Two, it means you're going to the west side. And if you're going to the west side, you're going to be frustrated with traffic because there's, like, no lane markings. No one knows where they're going. There's no easy way to get anywhere because there's no actual – all these highways and stuff we're talking about, none of them are the west side because they don't have highways. They don't have it. No easy way to get anywhere. So that those are my two. I don't know if how enjoyable
I don't
that
know
segment
why,
was.
I don't know why you keep going in those directions.
I have to go over there. Look, I don't – I have family over there. I got to get over there. I'm doing that drive a lot now.
I ran into a friend in Nashville, and he's like, man, he was talking about his family lives somewhere in a certain part of Tennessee, and that was the same issue, Chef. He's like, I haven't seen my parents in 2 years. he was just like, I don't go.
Don't go there.
There's always a choice.
Oh, there is. All right. Let's get close to wrapping this thing up with what's making you mad. What is making you mad?
Yeah,
this week?
Is we'll keep it short and sweet. If people have been following us on Snapchat the last 2 weeks on this road trip, I don't like not being able to leave a stadium.
Oh, we were locked in.
I don't look. What we do is fun. It's a lot of fun. We'd like to say sometimes like it's not work, quote unquote. But when they don't let you leave.
Feels like work.
It feels like work.
Except usually you can leave your office if you want.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. Jack's Everbank Field, they wanted us to retire there.
They did.
I think the people working at Everbank Field are really just people who couldn't get out. they just stayed there
and got a job.
Tennessee's different. There must have been some other kind of underground tunnel because we couldn't get to a locker room when we needed to. We couldn't leave the stadium when we wanted to. There's gates and doors.
Nobody knows where you want to go.
No, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. You want to leave?
How is it that all those people in those really like powerful looking yellow jackets never know where the visitors' locker room is?
Never.
Or the photo work room.
Or the photo room. He's like, where do I go?
I knew you were going with that. I knew that look was.
So I kept it simple. I mean, it's a little insidery for people, but we do like to go home and see our families.
I just feel like it should. I feel like on every sheet with information about your stadium, it should say A, exactly what is the most efficient way to get to the visitor's locker room, and two, how to get out.
All right,
how to get out.
I just want to leave.
Yes. All right. What's making me happy? You know what's making me happy? The whipped feta with the Giffords bacon at Butcher.
You did. That really made you happy.
It was so inappropriate the way I ate that. There was. This was the best, like, little appetizer I've ever had. Is at this place called Butcher Bee, East Nashville, where we were staying.
Yes, highly recommend.
Lots of good restaurants and stuff out that way. And this place was great. Really good. Really good if you have any vegetarians with you, because the menu is very diverse.
Right.
You can get your burgers. You can get your great veggie stuff. You can get everything you want. This whipped feta.
Braised
lamb. Do not – I feel – I don't want to leave the braised lamb out of it because it was great. This whiff of with the bacon in it. I just sat with it in front of me, and I just kept sopping it up. And I felt like one man is not supposed to eat all of this whiff feta with bacon. This is unhealthy, but my God, it is delicious. It made my weekend. It just made my weekend.
There was a moment where, like, I don't know if you meant to say it out loud, but it was like in between, you just, all we heard was, this is so unhealthy. But it was just in between. It was hilarious.
Yeah. And then I think I sopped up another three pitas worth. Oh, man. Just ridiculous. Anyway, so good trip to Nashville.
It was joy, yeah.
A really good trip to Nashville. That's a great destination. A lot of you maybe are listening yes, to this on shout your way
out,
back.
Shout out to all of the Bengals fans who shouted us out on social media or in person over the 2-3 days for listening to the podcast. We heard you. We recognize you. We love you. Thank you.
We have a belated shout out to Chris from Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
We never got to that last week.
Right.
Where did you see him?
Airport. In Atlanta.
Yes.
Yes.
We meant to get to that last week and forgot to. So shout out to Chris
for
saying hello to us. It was so great seeing all you guys out there. We love that all y'all are listening and sticking with us even as the season drowns on a little bit and spirals the drain a little bit. I think one of my favorite tweets I've seen, somebody tweeted, the BBP is the only thing that's got me hanging on to this season still. So that makes us very happy and proud to do this for you guys and all that stuff. So thanks a lot. And again, come down, same situation. Come down and say hi to us, and we'll talk. You know, ask us questions for the pod or off the pod, off the record type stuff. That's going to be on November 30th at 50 West Brewing Company down at the Production Works. Myself, Jim, Optimistic Bobby, Optimistic Lindsay.
Yeah.
It'll be a whole crew. So it should be a whole lot of fun down there. So come on down to the live BBP on November 30th. Have some beers, eat some food. We'll talk Bengals. All right, let's get out of here. Kareem, well done behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Kept it strong except for one very, very questionable lane change, but we survived it. BTS this week, our guest is George Iloka. Always fun to have George on the show. So
the best part about that is there's no FCC regulations. And no. George always likes to take advantage of that loophole.
Yeah, he likes he likes his internet show.
Yeah, he does.
So we'll have plenty of that. Plus, he's had multiple quality costumes this year that we have to reference. So we'll have that. Come on down to BTS, 7 o'clock Tuesday. Holy Grail Banks will be down there with him. So anyway, we'll talk to you all later. Have a good one.